Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
Good evening. Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, that'll be our launching point. And in just a few moments, we'll also add in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Tonight, I want to do something a little different, have a little bit of a combination of some teaching, a sermon, as well as a report on our trip to Costa Rica that we made on spring break in April. But primarily from the text this evening, I want to think about the topic of being saved to serve. Saved to serve from Romans 6 and Romans 12. I don't know about you, but you've probably, if you're like me, you've had a lot of those now what moments in your life where things happen, maybe you've planned for some things, and then it's kind of now what? Well, what now? What do I do? Maybe you've reached a benchmark or set a goal and you attain that goal, but then you sort of realize, well, I didn't really plan for what to do after that. In the summers, or in the spring, I've been coaching youth baseball the last few years, and it's been interesting to watch the now what moments from the kids. We spend all this time trying to teach them to hit the ball, and then when they finally do it, some of them run to third base, some of them kind of say, well, I yell at them, no, run to first, and they say, well, where's first? And then some of them run with the bat, because and it's a what now moment for the coaches too. We think, oh, now I gotta coach on the next step. But maybe we've had some of these moments in our lives, and the response that we give to the what now moments, the now what moments, sometimes I refer to, I like to describe that as kind of the getting out of the pool moment, because you know what happens when you get into the swimming pool, first thing you think is, man, it's really cold. But then you start swimming a little bit, and eventually by the time you get out, it's warm in the pool. And when you get out and you don't, there's the now what moment. What a lot of us do, we jump right back in, because in the pool is where it was warm. So we jump back in. Maybe sometimes young folks, you know, we're getting more and more education nowadays as time goes by. Folks have more education than they've ever had before. Young folks, maybe they graduate high school and they might have the goal, I'm going to go to college, I'm going to graduate college, but more and more frequently we're seeing, you know, they graduate and then it's a now what moment. Well, I didn't really plan on what kind of career I wanted. Well, sometimes we see the jump back in response. Well, they'll jump back in and attain a second degree, but this time with a career in mind. Sometimes for adults, maybe it's with the idea of getting out of debt. We think, man, I'm just sick and tired of dealing with the stress that comes with debt. Maybe you follow some Dave Ramsey, you get gazelle intense, and you pay off that credit card, you pay off the car loan or the house loan. And what a lot of folks do in those situations is they hit the now what moment and they jump back in. They make another big purchase on credit and get right back into what they had just come out of. A couple of weeks ago, at the first night of Future Ministers Camp, John Thomas spoke to us from Hebrews 12. And he was speaking to us about laying aside every weight and the sin which so closely clings to us. And I think that moment of where we put off sin and put off Christ can be one of those now what moments. In mission work, often there are certain, we encounter folks that convert to Christ, and often there are certain habits, certain activities, certain things that are a part of an individual's life that just have no place within Christianity. So occasionally there are times where someone converts to Christ and there are things they have to put off. Well, any good missionary will tell you that's a moment, that's a now what moment where Christians need to teach others an acceptable activity, something acceptable that can be done to replace that void. Because if you don't, that person's going to be in danger of jumping back in, of falling back into sin. And so tonight I want to offer up at least one possibility. We're so blessed here at Graymere with so many different ways to grow. But I want to offer up at least one possibility as how to answer that now what question. Because I believe one of the teachings that we'll see in the book of Romans tonight is that we are saved to serve. The best way to replace an unacceptable practice is to replace it with the acceptable practice of service to God and service to others. And in the process of this tonight, when we get towards the end of this brief message, I want to show you a video report of our trip to Costa Rica. And that will give you a good visual example and illustration of serving others. Let's open our Bibles to Romans 6, verses 16 through 18. Romans 6, verses 16 through 18. Coming just on the heels of that great chapter in chapter 5 where Paul is talking about the sacrifice that Christ has made for us, the grace that abounds now thanks to the debt that he paid, the sacrifice that he paid that should have been us. Paul anticipates a question. He anticipates a question from his readers. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, he said, the question he anticipates is, well, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may abound? In verse 15 of Romans 6, he sort of phrases it another way. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? It's kind of like he's anticipating one of those what now moments. What do we do now? Now that Jesus has died, he's made grace available. We've been buried with him in baptism. We've been buried in the likeness of his death and his burial and resurrection, and grace abounds. We've been forgiven. So what do we do now? Should we continue in sin? Should we keep on sinning so that grace can keep on covering that sin? And of course, Paul's answer to both questions is by no means. By no means should we go back into sin. By no means should we keep living that life. Of course, Jesus said in John 3 and verse 5 that one must be born again in order to enter into the kingdom. In Romans 6 and verse 4, we're told that when one is born again, he's born into a new life. We walk in newness of life. So by no means should we go about living this new life in the same way that we lived the old life, because if the old life was sufficient for the new life, then there would have been no purpose of putting it off and putting on the new. So by no means should we continue in sin. But notice verses 16 through 18. It says, do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin which leads to death, or of obedience which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. You're no longer slaves of sin, but now we're slaves of righteousness. Here's Paul reaching that missionary moment where he's replacing the unacceptable with the acceptable. We're no longer serving sin. We're not going to continue in that. We're not going to live the old life anymore. Now we're going to live in a different way. We're going to fill the void with other activities, with service to others, with service to God. It's the now what moment. You've been saved to serve. You've been saved. You've been now made slaves of righteousness. I'd like for you to flip over with me also to Romans chapter 12, and let's add just a little bit to that. We're not supposed to jump back into sin, but Paul's saying we gave up something. We gave up the life of sin for a life in Christ. We gave up the unacceptable, now for the acceptable, but it seems like in chapter 12 he sort of describes that process that takes place in between the unacceptable and the acceptable, the old life and the new life, the slave to sin and the slave to righteousness. And this is the process of transformation. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers. I find it interesting the way in which the Apostle Paul addresses his readers. Here, an inspired apostle, if he had wanted to, he could have commanded them. He could have commanded anything of them. He would have had the authority to do such. But instead, he's urgently pleading with them. He's got some urgent affection. He's beseeching them. He's begging them as brothers. Why? Because, again, John 3 and verse 5, they've been born again into this new life in the same exact way Paul has. So he's on equal ground with them. They've been born again into the same body. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13 says, "For in one spirit we are all baptized into one body." So he's speaking to them as equals, as brothers. Rather than commanding, he's pleading and he's urging them. He speaks to them, says, "By the mercies of God." Of course, in the beginning of 2 Corinthians 1:3, God is the Father of mercy. You got Psalm 136, His mercy endures forever. Titus 3 and verse 5 says, "We are saved by His mercy. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy." Mercy is at the core of the gospel message that Paul's sharing with others. He just addressed grace in Romans chapter 5. Grace, of course, is God giving us what we do not deserve. But mercy is on the flip side of that. Mercy is God refusing to give us what we deserve. So Paul's pleading with them, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. He's imploring Christians to action. When he says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, he is imploring Christians to action, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Romans 6, as we just looked at, we're to be instruments for God's righteousness, instruments for right doing for others. We're to be God's tools, God's instruments in bringing others to Jesus. We're to be dead to sin and alive to Christ. We're the instruments that He can use. We're the living sacrifice. It's no longer my will, but it's God's will that must be done. I think the living sacrifice would have been a metaphor that all of Paul's readers can understand, even us today. If a Jewish reader had read that, they would have thought back to the laws and the rituals, the regulations, all that was involved in Old Testament animal sacrifices, and they would have made that connection. Oh, no longer is that the kind of sacrifice, but now it's a living sacrifice of action that God desires. If the Greeks had read that, then they might have associated it with the rituals and the practices that went on in idolatrous temples. And they would have made that connection. A sinner like you and me, we can make that connection. We can think of all the things we've sacrificed for sin. We can think of folks sacrifice their families. They sacrifice their time. They sacrifice their money. They sacrifice their health. All of those things they give up for sin. We think, oh, now I'm sacrificing myself for right doing, for righteousness, for Christ. So it's not my will, but your will be done. We're to be holy and devoted to God and devoted to service to God. And that service is to be an active service. At the end of that verse, he says, which is your spiritual worship, or some translations would say reasonable service. I like that a lot better. The Greek's got a word for worship, and it's got words for service. And I think the word that's used here is more accurate as service. But I say that just to say that I do think our worship is service. But it's not the only service. And I want to make that point because we so easily can fall into the habit of checking the boxes of well, went to worship. All right, did my Christian service. The rest of the week is mine. We need to be careful to know that yeah, worship service, but it's not the only service. We're to be actively employed in the service, in God's service. It's more than just what goes on within these walls and for 2 or 3 hours during the week. Romans 12 and verse 2, he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. There's this process of transformation that takes place from living slave to sin and slave to righteousness. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not be conformed to this world. I think that's probably throughout, from this point on, from the time of Christ on to today, it's always been, I believe, the greatest challenge for Christians, and continues to be today, is to not be conformed to this world, to not allow this world to squeeze us and to mold us into its mold, into its pattern, into what it wants from us. Because we've been called out of that mold. We've been called out of sin. We've been set aside. We've been set apart for righteousness. We've been set aside for God's will, not mine. For God's will and not the world's. And this transformation takes place by the renewal of your mind. This transformation is a change of attitude. It's a change of action. It's a change of mission. It's a change of motive. It's a change of language. It's a change of life. There's a complete change that takes place from when we were slaves to sin to now as we are slaves of righteousness. And I believe that we understand that this transformation takes place, or is gained, through study of the Word. I think this transformation takes place also in other places. The Word, of course, is the key to transform, being transformed into an instrument that God can use. But I believe there's other things that help us. I believe our association, our fellowship with one another helps us to continue that transformation. Maybe it begins at baptism, but it doesn't end until we enter into the kingdom of heaven. Maybe this transformation is continued by spending time in prayer, spending time in setting our attention, our minds on heaven. Maybe this transformation happens by spending more time in worship to God. But the point is that I believe Christianity is a religion of the mind, but it's also a religion of the heart and of the hands. You think about our human actions, that heart, it pumps blood throughout the body. It pumps blood to the organs and to the extremities so that we can perform actions. We can use these hands and these fingers and these legs and this mouth. But the more of the Word that I put in me, it's like it's pumping that blood to my extremities so that I can use my hands and use my words, not my will be done, but that God's will can be done. That by the testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. God's will is acceptable. God's will is good. God's will is perfect. I've never met anybody who is actively employed in God's service. I've never met anyone who is actively busy in the work of the church to say, well, I just wish I knew what God's will was for my life. I've never met anybody who's active in the work, who's bringing souls to Jesus, to wonder what God's will is for their life. We've been saved to serve. God's will is that all men be saved. I believe His will is that we use what we've got, that we allow ourselves to be His instruments to bring others to Jesus. I want to show you a video here in just a second to illustrate service to God. I don't want to say that mission work is the only way to serve God, because I don't believe that. I believe there's a lot of other ways of service, but I do believe that it's one possibility of replacing the unacceptable with the acceptable. And so I want to show a video, hopefully, that will encourage others to join us on future mission trips. On April 2nd through 7th, we made the trip to Costa Rica. There were 55 of us that made the trip this year. That's quite a bit more than what we're accustomed to having on our mission trips. The reason being is that we're growing. We were attracting folks from other congregations. We had a big group from Graymere. We also had a big group from the Lebanon Road congregation in Nashville. We had folks from in total about 6 different congregations on this trip. So we made this trip to Costa Rica. We spent the week working with the Coronado congregation. It's about an hour outside of San Jose, which is the capital of the country. And for this trip, we had a lot of different areas of service. Primarily, I would say our biggest area of service was building construction, even some landscaping. This is a self-sufficient church that we were helping. However, they could have used a little bit of help with their building. So we had the talents and the ability in order to help with that. During the day, each morning and each afternoon, we also had groups that would load up on the vans, and they were headed out to teach the Bible in an orphanage, not a church-run orphanage, but a government-run orphanage that freely opened their doors to allow us to come in and to teach. Each morning, each evening, we had folks that were busy in park evangelism. If you're familiar with Latin America, you know that generally speaking, there's a central park and the rest of the city is built around that. In that central park, you can usually find a Catholic cathedral, which was the case in Coronado. You can usually find some restaurants, government offices, but life takes place in the central park. Folks pass through the central park every day. So we had our folks out there going up and talking to people, interacting with people. You'll even see in the video that we did some silly stuff, playing with hula hoops and things like that to attract kids, and anything we could do in order to start up conversations so that we could hopefully set up Bible studies and invite people to join us for worship in the evenings. And in the evening, you'll also see some photos in the video of, we had a leadership seminar. This church was phenomenal. This Coronado church, the men and the women, the leaders in this church were just phenomenal. And so we had a leadership seminar to hopefully encourage them to take that leadership to the next step in terms of a more formal leadership. So I'm going to show you this video now so that you can have an idea of what we did. Shane Williams, who's a member at Lebanon Road, put the video together, and Chad Landman helped me tonight in preparing it for us to use in this service. But another thing to think about is just, why do we do this? Why do we go to Costa Rica and do those things? And it's because we want to serve. Just as basic as it is, it's because we've been saved to serve, and that's a place we've identified that we want to serve. Of course, our goal for our mission work is, our slogan is to plant a church that can plant a church that can plant a church. And we didn't plant the church in Coronado. We partner with Tony and Jesse Barbosa, they're a young couple that are of evangelists. And our goal is to plant a church in Costa Rica. And our goal is hopefully to plant it with them. But we need time for us to learn that country. We need time for them to gain experience in ministry. And so that's why we went to Coronado. They're working with that church at the moment and gaining the experience they need. And so our goal is to use Coronado as a launching point. The church there is on board with it and wanting to help Tony and Jesse and in order to help them to one day plant a church in another part of Costa Rica. So that's our goal. That's why we're going to Costa Rica, and that's what we're trying to do there. But we're so blessed here at Graymere. We're blessed by our mission works, and so many people throughout the world are blessed by what you are making possible. We're truly blessed, and so many are blessed by your service. But also want to take the opportunity tonight to offer the invitation, because it's possible that there's someone here tonight you want to serve, but you're not yet saved. And I want to remind you of what Jesus said in John 3 and verse 5, unless one is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I want to remind you of what we talked about in Romans chapter 6, specifically what Paul writes in the first 10 or 11 verses. And that's that if you believe that Jesus is the resurrected Son of God, if you're ready to die to sin and ready to be a slave to righteousness, if you're willing to put him on tonight, to be buried with him in baptism, in the likeness of his death and his resurrection, we can assist you in that so that you can be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you feel the need to respond to the Lord's invitation tonight, won't you come right now as we stand and as we sing? Would you help our
send me always to your